come and be saved and be a part of the family of God. Amen, church. Thank you, choir, for that great song about the Rock of Ages. That's a great song by a great writer named Mike Speck. I love his music. He has some great, great choir songs. And thanks be to God for that great song there, that as a child of God, we stand upon the Rock of Ages. It's a sure foundation. You know, it cannot be shaken, cannot be moved. Our God is a God who's always the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. But a joy to be in God's house here today. This morning, it's good to see this morning Miss Hazel Hayes here this morning back in God's house. It's a joy to see her back feeling better. Praise the Lord for that. Amen, church. It's a joy to have her back in the Lord's house this morning. This time now, this morning, God's Word, if you would take your Bibles, open with me to Acts chapter 4 and 23 through 31 in God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 4 and 23 through 31 in God's Word this morning. And I want to speak on the subject of the power of prayer. I believe, church, the power behind any church. I believe that for a church to go forward and to be the church that God has called it to be, it must focus on prayer. The Bible says God has called His church to be a house of prayer, and I believe when a church prays together, it will stay together. I believe when a couple prays together, they will stay together. I believe if a nation will pray together, we as a nation will stand together. But church, I believe so many times churches are dying on the vine and are falling and stalling and are dropping and stopping and are sitting and quitting because they're not tapping into the one thing they need, and that is the power of prayer. They're trying every program under the sun, trying every new idea, every gimmick, but leaving out prayer. And church, you'll find in God's Word in the Bible, the church was built on prayer. You'll find if you study history, every great revival, the great awakening, every great revival you find in Wales, England, and America, it all hinged on the power of prayer. So I believe there, church, God is saying something. It is time for the church to get back on their knees and pray. I believe we're going to stand. We got to, first of all, kneel. And when we pray, God will do great and mighty works. Amen, church. In Acts 4 in God's Word, we find a famous story in the Bible about two men named Peter and John who believed in the power of prayer. They were faced with opposition. The authorities had come against them. But notice, church, their response. When the trouble came, they ran to the house of God and said, "Boys, let's pray." Please stand now in the honor reading of God's Holy Inspired Word. Now bear in mind, Peter and John had just been threatened by the authorities. They were told to quit preaching about Jesus Christ. They were told to quit standing on the Word of God. And here's the response Peter and John had. The Bible said in verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God," here's the key word, "with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For every truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before it be done." See, church, God's got it all planned out. God knows what's going to take place. Now, verse 29, here's their prayer. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus." And old church, when they prayed, here's the result. Verse 31. "And when they had prayed," here's what God does when the people of God pray. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Oh, church, I believe when the church begins to pray, God will shake things up. When a nation prays, God will shake our nation up. When a marriage prays, He will shake that marriage up, church. I believe it's time for the church to be all shook up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I pray this morning as I preach. Lord, right now as a pastor, I'm trusting in you. Lord, right now I'm depending on you to fill my mouth with your words. Father, I pray as I preach on prayer that God, you'll take this message. I pray, God, it'll ring true in our hearts and show us, God, that no program, no plan, no gimmick can change prayer or replace prayer. But God, for your church to grow, for your church to go forward, it must be hinged on prayer. God, show us here today how to walk with you and pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. I pray this morning as I preach, every child of God will fall under conviction and be challenged to deepen their walk with you and Lord, to deepen their quiet time and to lengthen their quiet time in the morning with you. That God, they'll spend minutes, if not hours, on their knees in prayer. Father, I pray now for any lost sinner in this church this morning under the sound of my voice that is not certain of their salvation. Anybody here this morning that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God will shake them, Lord, in their hearts and shake them, Lord, and show them their need for a Savior. And I pray, Lord, when it's time for an invitation, that God, they'll run down and say, Lord, I need you as my Savior and Lord. Lord, move now during the service, and I pray finally you'll bind every demon of hell this morning from this service. We ask you to bind them and cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ, who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the people of God all said, and amen. You can be seated. Church, I want to speak this morning on the subject of a church without prayer doesn't have a prayer. Here we find church in Acts chapter 4 in the Word of God, starting here in verse 23. We find a famous story in God's Word where God is teaching us, church, about the power of prayer. Some time ago, heard a story about two boys that had stopped by to see their grandma, and at nighttime, the two boys were praying their bedtime prayers. And the first boy prayed, and he prayed this prayer. He said, Dear Lord, I pray you'll bless mommy and daddy, and I pray, God, you'll give us a good night's rest. Then he paused and he prayed real loud and said, God, please get me that new bicycle for Christmas. Another boy said, son, he says, why yell? God's not deaf. He said, no, God's not deaf, but grandma sure is. Amen. Hey, friends, that young boy, he believed in the power of prayer. And church, here we find the Word of God. We find a story about two men that believed in the power of prayer. Now, church, here in the book of Acts, we find a story about two men named Peter and John that were out there preaching the Word of God, and souls were being saved. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 3, we find how the Word of God says how Peter and John passed by this place, the gate called Beautiful, on their way to worship God, and there was a lame beggar. And the Bible says he was lame from birth, and he was crying out for help. And Peter and John passed by and said, boy, he said, silver and gold, we don't have. What we do have, we'll give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And the Word of God said, church, that day that man rose up and a mighty miracle took place. And church, as a result, souls began to get saved and revival began to break out. And church, we all know that when revival breaks out and souls get saved, the devil's crowd is going to rise up. The devil's crowd is going to speak up. The devil's crowd will rise up and try to shut down and thwart the plan of God. But church, we can't quit. We got to keep on going until Jesus comes again. We can't slack up, back up, pack up, or slow down, but go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter and John, church, were brought in by the authorities. The authorities brought them in and told them not to ever again preach about Jesus Christ. Listen, church, I don't care how bad America gets. I will never cease to preach the blood-stained cross of Calvary. I will never cease to preach that Jesus Christ saves. I believe a long time ago, I believe now, and I believe in the future that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through Him. Can I get an amen? He's the way. So Peter and John were threatened by the authorities. And the Word of God says when they were threatened, they rushed to the house of God and told the people of God. And the people of God said, let us pray. Oh, friends, may that be a challenge to the church today. When threats come our way, when trouble comes our way, don't run to the police station. Don't run to the courthouse. Run to the house of God. Church, God can do more through prayer than man can do through physical means. They said, let's take this matter to God in prayer. So, church, I want to show you from the Word of God this morning three things that took place when the people of God prayed. Notice, first of all, church, from God's Word, I want to show you how their problem was reported. Now, first of all, church, I want to show you where they took their problem to. Listen again to verse 23 and the Word of God. Now, verse 23 says, and being let go because they were held captive by the authorities, it said, and being let go, they went to their own company. That means the people of God, the church, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. They went back to the house of God and told the people of God how the authorities had tried to shut them up. They went to the house of God. Now, here's why, church, they went to the house of God. Because, church, in the days of the early church, the church was built on prayer. It was hinged on prayer. On that great day of Pentecost, the Word of God said they were found praying. Church, I believe right there is a great lesson for the church to learn. We have got to get back to prayer. How much time is spent in our daily schedules on our knees in prayer? How much time is spent in our church services on our knees in prayer? Listen, church, we have got to get back to prayer. I believe prayer, church, is the key that unlocks heaven. I believe prayer, church, is that we can change lives, and I believe that a prayerless church will be a powerless church. And I believe here's why so many times when troubles come, folks run to the police, folks go to the courthouse, they go to politicians, because, church, they see no power in the house of God. But, church, Peter and John said, we believe our God is bigger than the cops, He's bigger than the courts, He's bigger than the president, He's bigger than our problem. Let's take our need to God in prayer, and God will shake things up. Amen, church. Friends, when trouble comes your way, carry it to the house of God. Say, Pastor, I got a prayer request. Right now, I've got a need in my life. Church, I believe we ought to go to God in prayer. Matter of fact, church, the Word of God tells us, church, this is good. This is what God has called the church to. Listen to Matthew 21 and verse 13. Here's a story where they were buying and selling in the temple and cheating folks out of their money, and Christ drove them out with whips. Listen to God's word. It's a good word. In Matthew 21 and verse 13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of what, church? The house of prayer, he says, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus himself said the church is called to be a house of prayer. He didn't call it a house of preaching. He didn't call it a house of good singing. He didn't call it a house of fellowship meals. He called it a house of prayer. I'm not saying that preaching is bad. I'm not saying singing is bad. I'm not saying that eating food is bad. Amen, church. We love to eat. Amen. But church, those things had their place in the house of God. But God said the one thing that ought to categorize my church, it is called to be a house of prayer. That is the purpose in coming to church. We come to pray and seek the face of God because, church, you can't have church without prayer. You can't have church till the Holy Ghost shows up, church, and the Holy Ghost shows up when the people of God go to God in prayer. We got to pray and seek the face of God. It blows my mind, church, how prayer, the most important thing, is the one thing we do so little of. We could plan a fellowship meal or a Brotherhood Fish Fry, have 100 guys here on a Friday night. But yet, church, on that same night, you can call a prayer meeting and you might get 5. You can plan a big event, a big singing, a big fifth Sunday singing, and fill the church up with folks coming here singing on the same night. Plan a prayer meeting, and you might have 10. Oh, church, what a crying shame. We'll come for the singing. We'll come for the food. We'll come for the preaching. But yet, church, we won't come to pray. Listen, church, you can't have these things outside of prayer. I cannot preach without prayer. This choir cannot sing without prayer. These teachers out here cannot teach without prayer. Church, prayer to the believer is like gasoline in the car. If it's not fueled up, it's going to go nowhere. If your prayers aren't fueling me, my sermon will go nowhere. If your prayers aren't fueling the choir, their song will go flat. Listen, church, we got to have prayer. Amen. Friends, I believe prayer is so important. In the first church I pastored, I'll never forget, in the first church I pastored, we had prayer meeting all the time during the week on Wednesdays, like it is in all churches. And like most churches, it was like 5 minutes of prayer and about an hour of Bible study. So I've been there about a year, and God laid it on my heart to change it into a full-time prayer meeting. So I told our church, I said, guys, I said, starting next Wednesday, what we're going to do is have a prayer meeting. It's called prayer meeting, let's pray. I said, here's our plan. We'll come together. I'll teach the Word of God about 15 minutes, and the rest of our service, we'll get in groups, and we'll take our prayer sheet, and we'll pray for it section by section, and we'll hit our knees and go to God in prayer. Friends, in a week's time, the crowd was cut in half. Folks had quit coming. And so I approached some folks that came all the time. I said, tell me. I said, why have you quit coming on Wednesday nights? And here's what they said. They said, preacher, we're not driving all the way to church just to pray. Friends, what a crying shame. We're not driving all the way to God's house just to pray. What did Jesus say? My church is called to be a house of prayer. Why do you think so many churches right now are dying across America? Because they're not praying. Church, a long time ago, they had all-night prayer meetings. They had prayer chains. They had cottage prayer meetings. They had fasting and praying. And that's when the power of God fell. Folks say, preach, a long time ago, we had chairs in the aisle. I guarantee back then, there was more prayer back then too. Listen, church, when you pray, that's when God shows up. Every great revival, church, was hinged on prayer. Amen. Church, my thrust this morning is to challenge the people of God to see the need to pray. Notice, church, how we see when the problem came, where they reported to, they went to the house of God. Second of all, we see, church, what they reported. Now, the Word of God says they told them all that took place. First of all, the Bible says they showed how they were apprehended by the authorities. Listen to 1 through 3 in this same chapter in chapter 4. It says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the people and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. They got them and took them and arrested them because they preached the word of God. Friends, I believe right now with all my heart, there's coming a day
that, friends, it would be a crime to stand in the pulpits of America and preach the Word of God. Right now in some states, they call it a hate crime if you dare preach against things like homosexuality. I believe right now the way our country is going, there's coming a day they'll say, don't you dare get in that pulpit and preach Jesus. Don't you dare get in that pulpit and preach against sin. If so, we'll arrest you and put you in jail. If that be the case, during my lifetime and my ministry, this redhead preacher will be in jail. But friends, in jail, I will praise the Lord. I'll be a pastor with a criminal record. Amen. But I hope some of y'all will come and get me out. Amen, church. Hey, listen, church, that day's coming. The Bible says they just preached Jesus and they laid hold on them. So they told the crowd how they were apprehended. Second of all, they told the crowd how they had been admonished. They've been threatened and told choir not to preach about Jesus Christ anymore. Listen to verse 15 through 17 in the same chapter. It says, but when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred amongst themselves. They called that sidewalk meeting. They called that secret meeting. And they got together and began to discuss what to do with these men. And verse 16 says, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed is a notable miracle. That means they saw the hand of God on them. They saw the miracles. That have been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot, is good, and we cannot deny it. Even the devil's crowd couldn't deny what God was doing. They saw a work of God. And church, it scared them. And verse 17 says, but that it spread no further. See, church, the devil does not want to see revival spread. He does not want to see this church get on fire and it spread beyond East Lumberton. He does not want to see this church get on fire and it spread throughout our town and throughout our state. That was their main concern. They could not stop the miracle. The miracle already took place. They could not stop the fact that folks were talking that already took place. But they said that it spread no further. Now, our church, the other night, a person said here in our church that right now in the community, folks are talking about our church in a good way. That means, guess what? News is spreading. And for the devil's crowd does not want to see good news spread. So verse 17 said, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They said, boys, you got to stop preaching Jesus Christ. If so, it might land you in jail. It might take your life. You can't preach the word of God anymore. But church, I found out you can't shut up God's man. Amen, church. The Bible says, amen, church. If you're a man of God, the Bible says there is a fire set up in your bones. You can't quiet the man of God. You can quiet a puppet. You can quiet a man who's not called of God. You can silence a man who his mama called and daddy sent. But old friends, if he's called by God and anointed by God, you can't stop him. You can't drop him. You can't shut him up, church, because the word of God must go, woo, that's good, must go forth. Amen. The Bible says, church, they reported what had took place. They showed how they had been apprehended, and they showed how they had been admonished. They were told not to preach anymore. So you see, church, their problem was reported. But now, second of all, church, I want to show you how their petition was requested. The very moment they told the church body how they had been in trouble, they said, boys, our only hope is to pray. Our only hope is to pray. We can't call leadership. We can't call the king. We can't call the authorities. We have but one hope. He said, boys, we got to pray. And notice, church, this part's good. Notice, church, how when they prayed, it was a sudden prayer. Listen again to God's word, all found here in the scripture, and verse 24. And when they had heard that, the church heard the news. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice unto God. They didn't say, boys, let's wait till next Wednesday when we have our prayer meeting. They didn't say, boys, we'll pray for you next week. They didn't say, boys, we'll add your name to the prayer sheet. We'll pray for you when you get time. All of a sudden, church, they stopped what they were doing and they began to go to God in prayer. Now, why did the church prioritize prayer? They knew the power of prayer. They knew what prayer could do. They knew how powerful prayer is. That is why so many times as a pastor, when folks give me a prayer request, I will stop the service and pray right then. Church, I believe in the power of prayer. You don't put off prayer, church. It's important. It's the only hope that a child of God has, church. Think back years ago, church, when we had prayer in school.
When we had prayer in school, we all know the crime rate was a whole lot lower. Trace back history, church. The very moment we stripped prayer from school, the guns came in, and church, all the sexual activity came in. All the crime began to come in, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Church, prayer puts power over people. There is power in prayer. So the Word of God said, church, it was a sudden prayer. They stopped right then and prayed. And church, I believe God is saying, church, we've got to grasp how important prayer is. Listen to God's Word in Luke 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, it says, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to preach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to tithe. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to tap into the power of God. Lord, show us how to pray. I do believe, church, there's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. The Word of God says, church, there are several stipulations that God puts on prayer. It says in Psalms in the Word of God, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear your prayer. Church, listen, church, sin can hinder your prayer. If you're lost, church, that hinders your prayer. If your marriage is in disarray, Ephesians says that hinders your prayer. There's a right and a wrong way to pray. So they said, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to pray. Mark 9:29 says in the Bible, when Christ had cast out a demon, the disciples said, Lord, how come we couldn't do that? And he said in Mark 9:29, and he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He said, boys, it's all hinged on prayer. You cannot do the supernatural with physical strength. It must be done with spiritual strength. And church, spiritual strength is found on your knees. A man that kneels can stand before anyone. Amen, church? Hello? There's power in prayer. The Bible says, church, they prayed. No friends. We see how it was a sudden prayer. Church, I believe prayer is the greatest thing a church can do. In this church right now, the greatest folks in this church are not the preachers, not the teachers, not the deacons, nor the choir or folks on committee. The most valuable folks in this church right now are prayer warriors. The most valuable folks are those folks you never see that are behind the scenes, in the closets, on their knees in prayer. Those are the MVPs of East Lumberton Baptist Church because they empower the preacher, they empower the choir, they empower the teachers. These folks, church, oftentimes are not seen, aren't applauded for. These folks sometimes aren't in the limelight. They're tucked away somewhere in the corner of their home on their knees saying, Lord, anoint the pastor with the Word of God. Lord, send heaven down when the choir sings. Those are the MVPs of East Lumberton Baptist Church, friends. Prayer. Listen, church, it all hinges on prayer. Several years ago, the great, great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a popular preacher in Baptist life, years ago, this man brought revival to the land of England. He was a man of God. He was a young man when he was called to preach, but he preached the Word of God. He believed in prayer, and God did great things in that church. That church grew so much that on Wednesdays, folks would stand in line to come to church on a Wednesday night, friends. One time, there was a group of college students that were touring that great building there in England. Matter of fact, I've been there. It's a great church there in England. And they were touring that great building. As they walked through, they saw the chandeliers. They saw the great pulpit where Charles Haddon Spurgeon would rightly divide the word of truth. They saw that great building. Then the tour guide said, boys, he said, now I want to show you what really heats this church. I want to show you what really warms this church. And he carried that group down to the boiling room in the church. And the boiling room was right under the stage of the church, right under the pulpit. As he pushed open that door, they were amazed what they saw. There were 600 men on their knees in prayer. He said, boys, that's what grows this church. That's what fuels this church. Church, imagine being in the pulpit preaching, and while I'm preaching, there's 600 men below me on their knees in prayer. Friends, that'll send heaven down, church. It's prayer, friends. We got to understand the power of prayer. The Bible says their prayer was a sudden prayer. Second of all, the Bible says their prayer was a shared prayer. Listen again to verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. Hear this, church, with one accord. I'm a strong believer, church. When you pray, always pray for the unity of the body of Christ. God cannot work in confusion. God cannot minister in disarray. The church body must be in one accord. When Peter and John said, boys, we got a problem. We're told not to preach. The Bible says they got in one accord and began to pray. They were all on the same page. They said, Lord, we pray you will bless the men of God. The key church to Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell and 3,000 were added in one day, they were all in one accord. Listen, friends, we as a body of Christ, we can differ on some things and still be in one accord. We can differ on trivial things. If we're saved by the grace of God, church, we have one thing in common. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe two men cannot love God and hate each other. It's impossible, church, because Christ dwells in both. Amen. Oh, friends, the Bible says they were in one accord. Right now, there's so many churches, choir, that are dead in the water only because the people aren't unified. I'm not saying what we always agree. I'm sure some folks might say, preacher, that sounds good, but I don't agree with that. So we can differ on some things, but still love each other, church. There's times in marriage, even couples don't agree. Amen, husband and wife, come on. Be honest. There's times that I talk to Jennifer. There's times we share things and don't agree. I said, Jennifer, that's okay. That's okay. If you don't mind being wrong, you have that right. Amen. But church, sometimes you don't agree. But even though there's times that we don't agree, we're still in one accord. There's times committees, church, don't agree. They can still be in one accord. If Jesus Christ is the same in their life and he is the forefront of their life, church, that is what matters. They prayed, church, in one accord. And I believe, church, God is saying we as a church body must come together and pray in one accord. Oh, church, it was a sudden prayer. It was a shared prayer. Third of all, it was a spiritual prayer. Let's close to the scripture. It was a spiritual prayer. Notice, first of all, how in this prayer they recognized God as controller of all things. Listen to verse 24. Now, when they prayed, it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice unto God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Now, church, that phrase, Lord, thou art God, in the Greek means they're saying, Lord, you're the sovereign God. You're in control of all things. You are Lord God Almighty. Notice, friends, in their prayer, their focus was not on the problem. Their focus was on God. They didn't focus on the trial they had. They focused on God. They said, God, we want to take time to lift you up, God. You're bigger than this problem. You're bigger than the Pharisees. You're bigger than the Sadducees. You're bigger than all the authorities. Listen, church, when trouble comes your way, don't tell God how big your storm is. Hey, tell that storm how big your God is. Amen, church? Focus on God, church. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your bills. He's bigger than your marriage in trouble. He's bigger than your wayward child. Just go to God. Don't whine and complain. Say, Lord, thou art God. You control all things. You control my wayward son. You control the church. You control the nation. God, you got the whole world in your hands. Amen. Oh, church, in their prayer, it was spiritual. Their focus was on God as controller. Second of all, church, they recognized God as creator of all things. Listen again to verse 24. It says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice unto God with one accord and said, Lord, thou, as far as good, thou art God, which has made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. They said, God, you made everything. If you made the earth in 6 days, you could take care of two men who are being threatened to preach the gospel. If you made the deer and the antlers and the bears and the cats and the dogs, you'll take care of their problem. If you put every ounce of water in the lakes, in the rivers, in the oceans, and the streams, you'll take care of their problem. Lord, if on day 6 you took dust and breathed in dust, the breath of life, and made man, you'll take care of their problem. God, if you flung all the stars into space and the earth hangs on nothing but your mighty power, you'll take care of these two men. God, if you put all these things in this world, every tree, every plant, every flower, glory to God, he'll take care of your problem. Amen, church. They said, God, that's how big you are. And God, we're not worried about this. It's simply a pile of people that are saying, don't preach the gospel. But God, you made all things. Oh, friends, their prayer was a spiritual prayer. They recognized God as controller of all things, recognized God as creator of all things. Notice, church, how their prayer was sudden. They prayed on the spot. Their prayer was shared. They prayed in unity. Their prayer was spiritual. They turned to God and not their problem. Fourth of all, church, it was a scriptural prayer. Notice how in their prayer, they're now in their prayer, they're quoting scripture that comes out of Psalms 2, 1 through 2. Listen to God's word in verse 25 and 26. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. In these two verses, they are quoting scripture that comes out of Psalms 2 and 1 through 2. Now, why did the people of God quote the word of God? They're saying, Lord, we're taking you at your word because God, you don't lie. We're going to use the word of God in our prayer. Now, friends, if you want to see power in your prayer, use the word of God. This Bible, friends, is true from cover to cover. These are the written promises that God has given you, and he cannot go back on his word. They said, Lord, your word says in the past, you took care of the enemy. We're taking you at your word. I believe, friends, when you pray, learn the word of God. I'm a strong believer in praying scripture. That's why you got to hide the word in your heart, friends. Every problem you face, there's a verse in the Bible to address it. Every hardship you face, there's a verse in the Bible to address it. Every trial you face, there's a verse in the Bible to address it. Every heartache you feel, every sorrow you feel, everything you face in life is addressed in the word of God. Learn this book, church. When you quote the word of God, God will stand on his promise. Amen. The Bible says so in their prayer, it was a scriptural prayer. They were quoting the word of God. Also, the Bible says it was a sure prayer. They believed because it was God's word that God would come through. Listen to 27 through 28. Now they interpret God's word. They said, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. That means in God's word, this crowd was coming together against Christ. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now they take God's word and they interpret God's word. They say, Lord, your word says in the past, you took care of the enemies. If your word said it took place back then God, you can do it even now. They said, Lord, we believe you'll take care of their need. We're quoting your word. We're interpreting your word. And God, we are taking you at your word. We believe, God, you can do the impossible. Possible. We believe you can set these men free. We believe you'll guide these men. You'll protect these men. Listen, church, learn how to trust and rely and believe in the word of God. Matthew 21 and 22 says, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It means when you pray, church, don't be double-minded. Don't pray one way in the back of your mind and say, well, it's not going to happen. You got to pray and believe. If you don't believe it, why pray it, church? If you're going to believe it, you got to pray it and believe. And church, if it's based on the word of God and it's dead-centered in God's will, it will occur every single time. In their prayer, they quoted God's word. They interpreted God's word. Now they're saying, God, we're going to step back and watch you go to work. We believe you'll do what your word says it will do. Who believes, church, this word is true from cover to cover? Say amen. You believe that, choir? The choir, you can take God at his word. The Bible says their prayer was sudden. They prayed right then. Their prayer was shared. They all came together as a church body in one accord. Their prayer was spiritual. They recognized God being bigger than their trials. Their prayer was scriptural. They quoted God's word. It was sure. They believed God would do what his word said. Then church number 7, it was a prayer that was specific. I believe when you pray, church, you pray for things by name. When you pray for missionaries, you call them by name. That's why on Wednesday, I pray for folks by name. I believe in praying for things that are specific, because when you pray that way, God will give answers that are also specific, church. They prayed for things by name. Listen to their prayer, church. And three things. They prayed for three things in the scripture. First of all, they prayed for awareness. Listen to verse 29. Now, verse 29, here's their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. They said, Lord, take notice to what's taking place in these men's lives. Lord, take notice to the enemy that's coming against the people of God. In their prayer, church, they weren't doubting that God saw it. They weren't challenging, saying, God, are you blind? You don't see this? They knew God saw all things. They were just saying, Lord, remember your servants. They're saying, Lord, we know you see what's taking place. We know you see this. Now, God, we're praying for you to move. And friends, God moves on his timetable and not man's. So many times, as children of God, we get mad at God because God doesn't move as fast as we think. he should move. And so many times we doubt God, we question God, we say, God, I don't understand why the evildoer is prospering and I'm suffering. I don't understand why the world is getting so bad, Lord, and it's taking place around us. We don't understand why all these trials are taking place. So many times, church, we wonder and question God. But oh, friends, here's a great word. Psalms 37 and 1 through 2 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Church, God says, don't you fret when evildoers prosper. There's a payday on the way. Don't you question God. Don't you challenge God. If it appears that God is silent and God is blind, don't you challenge God. There's a payday on the way. God sees what's taking place in America. God sees his churches. He sees the sinners. He sees the saints. And church, God is not asleep. He is aware. He is on his throne, church. Amen. Y'all believe that, church? The word of God says, when they prayed for awareness. Second of all, church, the Bible says, when they prayed for audacity, or the word boldness. Listen again to God's word in verse 29. Verse 29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, this part's good, that with all boldness, all of this, they may speak the word of God. Now, friends, notice their prayer, and notice what they didn't pray. They didn't say, God, strike out the enemy. They didn't say, God, just kill the enemy. They didn't say, God, take their trial away. This is good. Take their hardship away. They said, God, make them bold in you. They didn't pray for lighter burdens. They prayed for stronger backs. Amen. They said, Lord, make them stronger. Don't lighten their load. Don't kill the enemy. Make them stronger for the cause of Christ. Oh, friends, what a prayer. As the world gets more evil and times get tougher and times get harder, let's not pray for lighter burdens. Let's pray, God, give us stronger backs. God, give us more boldness to stand on the word of God and not cower down and not back down. No matter how bad, how hard, how troublesome times may get. Listen, church, we got to pray that God will make us bold as lions and stand on the word of God. Amen. Hello, church. Oh, the Bible says they prayed for awareness. They prayed for audacity. It said, Lord, we pray you'll do a great work in our life. Also, church number three, they prayed for affirmation. Verse 30. Verse 30 says, it says, Lord, give them boldness. Now, verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus Christ. They said, Lord, we want you to sow affirmation of our ministry. We want you to sow confirmation that we are called of you. God, we're praying you'll send more miracles. We're praying you'll send more signs. We're praying you'll touch more lives. And oh, friends, that's my prayer as a pastor of this church. As time moves on, I'm praying God will keep on saving souls and keep saving lives and keep mending marriages and keep changing lives. Church, I'm praying that God will show himself in our midst, that God's mighty hand will rest on this congregation, that God's mighty hand will rest on me, that God's mighty hand will rest on our deacons. I'm praying, friends, for God to move in and to show up and show out and to show he is God to all of Lumberton and all of North Carolina. Amen, church. Oh, the Bible says their prayer was specific. They said, Lord, take awareness. They said, Lord, we're praying for boldness. And God, we're praying for affirmation. Oh, we see, friends, the problem was reported. We see their petition was requested. Now, third of all, church, because they prayed the right way, because their prayer was right and not wrong, now we see, church, how their prayer was rewarded. First of all, we see, church, response good, how the power of God fell. Who wants to see the power of God fall on this place? Who wants to see the power of God fall on this place? Amen. Listen to God's word. The Bible says they prayed that God would do great and mighty things. Listen to God's word in verse 31. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. That means there was a mighty earthquake in that place. They hit their knees and prayed, and God shook things up. You'll find the word of God, when the people of God pray, God will shake things up. In Acts 16, we find Paul and Silas locked in a prison cell for their faith. And the Bible said at midnight, they began to praise God and pray. And what took place? That jail began to shake and the prison doors flew open and the prisoners were set free. I'm telling you, friends, when you pray, God will shake things up. Right now in this town, there's some churches that need to be shook up. In the nation, there's some churches that need to be shook up. There's some folks in government, praise God, that need to be shook up.
up. There's some saints right now in these pews that need to be shook up. They said, Lord, we want you to shake things up and do a great and mighty work. Oh, friends, that's my prayer, that God will shake us up, that God will wake us up, that God will break us up, that God will make us up, because one day, woo, he's going to take us up. Amen. Lord, shake things up. The Bible says, church, when you shake things up, that's when God will use you. A long time ago, I saw a medicine bottle. On the side of the bottle, it said, shake well before using. I got to thinking, church, that's true of a child of God. God can't use us until God shakes us well. Amen, church? When God shakes us up and wakes us up and breaks us up, then God can use us, church. We got to be shooken well for God can use us. There's too many saints that have gone to sleep in the church, gone to sleep spiritually in the pews. They have gone to sleep and have failed serving the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, it's time to shake some things up. Oh, friends, the power of God fail in a mighty way. Also, the Bible says the power of God failed. Second of all, the people of God were filled. Listen again to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Can you imagine being there, church? Can you imagine being there when they're praying and all of a sudden God begins to shake that place up? The Bible said the place was shaken where they were all assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, church, don't confuse this verse in the Word of God. When it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, does not mean a second filling. Does not mean they got saved. These were the saints of God praying. The Spirit of God dwelt inside of them. What it means when it says they were filled with the Spirit of God, in the Greek language, the word filled means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. It means the Spirit of God takes control of you. So being filled with the Spirit of God is not getting more of the Spirit. It's the Spirit getting more of you. It means being controlled by the Spirit of God. Because all throughout God's Word it says, be filled by the Spirit of God. But when I get saved, the Spirit of God as a person lives inside of me. I cannot get a second part of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. The entire Spirit of God lives inside of me. But daily, church, as a child of God, I must be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God, and I must be filled because I leak, and you do too. So the Bible says they prayed, and they were all filled with the Spirit of God. That means God's Spirit sat down on the choir. God's Spirit sat down on the preaching. God's Spirit sat down on the people. And church, as a result, friends, God began to do great and mighty things in the house of God. Oh, friends, I believe so many churches right now are having church, and the Spirit of God is nowhere near. It is so structured. It is so planned, and the Spirit of God can't intervene. I don't mind if the Spirit of God changes songs. I don't care if the Spirit of God changes sermons. I don't care if he adds songs, deletes songs, and I don't care if it goes past 12 o'clock. If God's here, I'm going to stay. Amen, church? Some churches start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. Amen, church? I'm going to be here as long as the Holy Spirit of God's here. Amen? The Bible says, church, they were filled with the Spirit of God. So they prayed. And the Bible says the Spirit of God fell, and the people of God were filled. Then the Bible says, third of all, church, the prayer to God was fulfilled. Listen now to verse 31, the final part. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. God answered the exact prayer they prayed in verse 29. Look back at verse 29. And 29, here's their prayer. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. That was their prayer that was specific unto God. God, give them boldness. Verse 31 says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God answered what they requested. They said, Lord, give them boldness, and that's what God gave them. And in church, they stood on the word of God. I believe God is saying, church, it is time to get back to prayer. It is time to get back on our knees. Like I said, trace back history, friends. Every great church, every great ministry that ever grew and revived was built on prayer. Finney, Spurgeon, Livingston, all the great men of God that had great success in the spiritual realm, they built it on prayer. Ask any man who's built a great church that's built on God, he'll tell you it was built on prayer. I can tell you story upon story upon story of churches I know of that started with nothing and became great churches, and they'll all tell you, the pastor will tell you, preacher, it wasn't a program, it wasn't a plan, it wasn't some gimmick, it was simply people that saw a need to pray. Let me close by sharing a true story of a church, and this very thing took place, a popular church in New York City. There's a church called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. best known for their choir. Their choir is a Grammy Award-winning choir. It's a great church in New York City where souls are being saved. It's a church where you find every kind of people in that church. Every race is there. Every kind is there. You'll find a homeless man who's right by a lawyer, both singing praises unto God. Every kind is in this church. But church, when this church began back in the 70s, God called a man named Pastor Jim Cimbala to pastor this church. He was pastor of a church in New Jersey. He went there and said when he got there, it was the most depressing sight he had ever seen. Brooklyn Tabernacle had 20 people in the church. There was an usher that was stealing money out of the offering plate. It was a hard, hard church. The pastor himself said it was so bad, he even dreaded going to church himself, and he was the pastor. He said it was a bad, bad church. But God sent him there. While he was there, things began to happen. A person came in one day with a gun, tried to shoot him while he was preaching. A couple came in and tried to run him off and take over the church. He had trial upon trial in this church. It was right down in the city, in the ghetto. All kinds of folks that were there, that were rough elements were there. He faced all kinds of issues, all kinds of things. But God said, stay put. I got to work in ministry for this church. And he was praying one day. He said, God, I feel like quitting. I feel like giving up. This church is going nowhere. I got 20 people. Their first offering was $85. It was a horrible church. He could barely make ends meet. And God said, Pastor Jim, he said, for the church to grow, you must emphasize prayer. He started a service on Tuesday nights, and he told his church body, he said, y'all, the most important service in this church will not be Sunday, it's going to be Tuesday. That's going to be our prayer time. We're going to come together and seek the face of God. He said, when it first started, he had a small crowd, but they began to pray. He said, as they prayed, the church began to grow. As they prayed, things began to happen, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, in 2013, friends, this church that started praying on Tuesday and still prays today, every Tuesday, this church that ran 20 now runs over 10,000. This church that was very small has a choir that runs 300 people in the choir, have won several Grammy Awards, and the preacher's wife leads the choir and she can't read or write music. The pastor has never gone to a Bible school, has never gone to a Bible seminary, but God had called him to preach and he knew how to pray. And this church is on fire for God. They have folks come in who are drug addicts that walk out saved and called to preach. They have prostitutes that come in and get saved. God has set this place on fire and he'll tell you it's all because of prayer. Right now, every Tuesday, they still meet and they pray over 1,200 people come on Tuesday and fall on their face and pray. No wonder church why the church is growing. It is now a prominent church. Cimbala has preached for the Southern Baptist Convention. Their choir is singing for the Southern Baptist Convention, the best choir in America. And church, it's all built on prayer. And friends, if God can do it there, he can do that very same thing here, church. But the question is, how bad do we want it? How much are we going to pray? I want to say real quick, church, what God has done in this church. Now, bear in mind, back in the 70s, the church ran 20. They were fighting, fussing, splitting, dividing, stealing money. But watch how the church is right now. Play that clip if you would, Jennifer. Watch this movie. Oh!
Church, you can't find that outside of prayer. What grew that church was people saw a need to pray. And church, my challenge this morning to you as a church body is you want to see God move, we got to take prayer seriously, church. That's the one thing that's going to build this church. Not a preacher, not a great program, but prayer. I'm challenging this morning, church, to get back to prayer. It worked in the Bible. It's working still today. But it takes work. It takes commitment. We got to agonize in prayer sometimes. It takes time out of our busy schedules, church. But friends, that's what we got to do to grow this church. We can knock on doors all day long. We can send out all the flowers we want, all the letters we want, make all the phone calls we want. But if we don't pray, we'll see nothing happen. We'll do what we can do in our strength. With our means and our measures. But if you want to see the supernatural take place, let God take over. And God will take over when the people of God call on him and say, Lord, we need you. We're dependent upon you. You're the only hope. You're the only hope that we have. And church, God will do great and mighty things. A church without prayer does not have a prayer. But when it has prayer, God will show up and God will show out. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning you'll burden our hearts, Lord, to have a heart for prayer. God, show us this morning, Lord, that you still work when your people pray. Help us, God, to make sure our lives are in line with you, to make sure our hearts are in tune with you, and help us, God, to be found faithful praying at this church on a regular basis. Help us, God, to understand that if we're going to see things happen here that's going to shock this town, that's going to shock these people, that's going to shock this state, it's going to require us being on our knees in prayer. God, we just saw a picture of a church that was struggling with 20 people and now is known nationwide, all because people saw the need and the importance of prayer. And God, that's just one of many churches I've heard about that have done the exact same thing from all walks of life, from Baptist churches to all kinds of churches that have saw the need to pray. God, call us to prayer today. Show us, God, that importance. May many folks start today by filling the altar and calling on you and saying, Lord, we want revival at East Lumberton Baptist Church. I want revival in my life. I want revival in my marriage. Lord, we want to see a great, mighty move of you in our church. Lord, we want to come to church, not just play church, not just go through motions, but God, we want to come and be visited by the Holy Spirit. We want to come and see your hand at work in our midst. We want to come and see souls saved weekly and lives changed weekly and folks being set free from addictions. We want to see that in this church. And God, it will happen if your people will get serious about prayer, if your people will get serious about serving you. Lord, I pray you'll burden our hearts this morning, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This morning, church, here's the invitation. I invite you first and foremost, if God's laid on your heart, to come fill the altar this morning during prayer time and pray. Let's start right now and seek the face of God, because God won't show up if we don't ask him to come. He won't do great and mighty works unless we call on him. Maybe this morning God's calling you to come and be saved. The Spirit of God's got to hold your heart and showed you your need to be saved, your need of a Savior. This morning we invite you to come and invite Christ into your heart and be saved, and I promise you it'll change your life. It'll make you a brand new person. Maybe this morning you've been saved and the Spirit of God's calling you to step out and be baptized and make it public. We invite you to step out and be baptized. Maybe here today God's calling you to come unite here at East Lumberton and be a part of a great work that I believe God's going to do here. If God's calling you to come be a part of this great church, we invite you to come unite and be a part of this church family. However God calls this morning, I pray you come. But I pray we'll see the altar filled of folks praying and saying, Lord, let's start that now. God, we want to seek your face. God, heal this church. Do a mighty work in this church. God, go above and beyond what we can think, dream, or imagine, as your word says. God, move in East Lumberton Baptist Church. Shake our town. Shake Robinson County. Shake North Carolina. Let our church be known as a church that prays and prays and prays. And church, God will do great things. Let's stand now for the closing invitation this morning. Our closing song will be, brother, hymn number 318. You come this morning at God's call, and I'm here to receive you. If not, come fill the altar and let's pray. And take...